Sitting on our step with Chu one evening, I see Keem's figure walking slowly home. Above him, angry clouds cover the sky so that no stars can show him the path home. In his hand, he carries the leftovers wrapped in his chroma, and my stomach lurches with happiness in anticipation. As he nears us, I see his shoulders heavily hunched over and his feet drag as if he is trudging through mud. "Keem, what's wrong?" Chu asks him. Not answering, Keem silently climbs into the hut, with Chu and I following closely behind. In the dark, Keem walks to Paw and kneels before him. With his head down, he says in a trembling voice, "Pa, the chief told me not to go back to his house." Pa is still and breathes softly. "I'm sorry, Pa," Keem says. "I'm sorry, Pa," Keem repeats, his words softly floating in the air. Hearing his despair, Ma puts Gek down and crawls over to Keem. Reaching him, she wraps her arms around his head, pulling him into her chest. "Thank you, little monkey," she whispers in his hair, stroking his hair as his shoulders heave up and down. The wind outside blows violently now, trying to part the clouds but to no avail. The stars are still hiding themselves from us. Chu and I reach for each other's hand and brace against the chills. Since the day we first arrived in Roe Leap 5 months ago, the chief's steady supply of leftovers has kept us from starving. Now we will again go to bed hungry. After what seems like a long silence, Pa tells us that we will get through this somehow. The next day, standing in the rows of ripe red bell peppers, tomatoes, orange pumpkins, and green cucumbers, I thought of Cave. It is now March and a month since she had left. Cave loves pumpkin seeds and used to eat them noisily at the movie theater. Thinking of her makes the sun burn hotter on my skin, and my pores push out more water, drenching my clothes. Next to me, Keem wipes his forehead and continues his work in silence. Our job is to fill up the baskets and deliver them to the cooks in the communal kitchen. As my fingers pluck the green beans, my mouth waters. Feeling the fuzzy hair of the beans between my thumb and finger, I crave to put it in my mouth before anyone sees me. But instead, I drop it in the basket. "I'm hungry," I say quietly to my brother. "Don't eat the vegetables. The village's chief will beat you if you get caught." Heeding his order, I continue with my work, stopping every once in a while to steal a look at my brother. In Phnom Penh, while Pa took us girls to the swimming pool on Sundays, Keem could usually be found in the movie theater across the street from our apartment.